This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Lawsuits and everything else in between. Because of COVID, there are a lot of pending lawsuits of people who don't think they should be required to wear a mask or to be vaccinated, which is part of what the struggle is for, I think, some of these companies as they try to decide what can we do, how do we protect personal freedoms, and then try to stop, of course, any kind of an outbreak. And the courts are incredibly backed up because of some of the lawsuits related in different ways to COVID. One of the lawsuits, although this is at this time not backing up the court necessarily, but certainly there's a lot of conversation about it, is Scarlett Johansson is suing Disney over the Black Widow Disney Plus release. And this is where we start. It all comes back to COVID and comes back to the Delta variant and people and habits and going to movies versus not going to movies. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, I am a big movie goer. I like to support the arts, and it's a good way for me to relax. So if I'm not on some rickety range somewhere like the rest of you, smashing that little silly white ball around trying to get better, I would normally maybe be catching a movie. To me, it's what I call a brain dump, where you can just relax and be entertained or thrilled or whatever. So the pandemic changed all that. Scarlett Johansson's lawsuit that was filed in the Los Angeles Superior Court on Thursday is saying Disney breached her contract by releasing that highly anticipated superhero flick, Black Widow, on its streaming service, Disney Plus. It was released on the service and in theaters at the same time. So the suit claims it broke an agreement between the star and the company. The suit alleges that Johansson agreed that her salary for the film would be based in large part on the film's box office haul, which is what a lot of men in Hollywood have done and made a lot of money. Sylvester Stallone's, etc., from way back when. This was the way you could balance out a picture because it costs so much to make them, that they would take the gamble on what was coming in on the back end of the box office. So to maximize the receipts and protect her financial interests, Scarlett Johansson got a promise from Marvel that the release of the picture would be a theatrical release. That's what the suit claims. And a theatrical release means it's just in the movie theaters, whether we're in the pandemic or not. And Disney apparently was aware of it, that's what they're claiming, but directed Marvel to violate its pledge and instead released the movie on Disney Plus's streaming service the same day it was released in theaters. So they countered back and made her look really bad, the Black Widow, saying that it was a callous disregard for the horrific and prolonged global effects of COVID-19, and it's very sad and distressing. And they said that they've fully complied with her contract and the release of the movie on Disney Plus with premiere access and all of that. So how about that? The suit at a wild time for Hollywood, because the pandemic has accelerated lots of different trends. Streaming has become the big focus in Hollywood. Movie theaters and box offices, they're struggling to return to normalcy. Remember, the everyday guy, I'll call him the everyday guy, is somebody in a lot of places, they own a movie theater, and then they would count on concessions and other things to keep that flowing. And there are a lot of really cool movie, or was, a lot of cool movie chains that aren't related to some big corporation, and those people are just drowning in it. So it's just another one of those effects. And we'll see ultimately what happens in this suit. But it's interesting, and the reason I bring it up at the top is because it, again, shows an offshoot of how life as we know it is very, very different, with the breakthrough infections being very unclear, with the CDC hiding the data originally because they wanted to get to the whole mass thing first, and they came out with the data. And it's wild to see the push-pull over mass. You have the governor of Texas saying, yeah, we're not going there. So we have an executive order saying that cities can't do this. They can't require masks and vaccines. So vaccines too, meaning any government entity that gets state funds in Texas, counties, cities, school districts, public health authorities, government officials, any of that, no COVID-19 related operating limits for any business or other establishment, none. And what he said in this executive order is, this way we've got clarity and uniformity in our response to the pandemic, saying that Texans had mastered the safe practices that help prevent and avoid the spread, and that it's personal responsibility rather than government mandates, and that Texans have the individual rights and responsibility to decide for themselves and their children whether they're going to wear masks, open their businesses, or engage in leisure activities. How about that? Wonder if others will follow suit or think he's just completely crazy not to force that issue. All right, I think we have Grim listening to us in the great state of Mississippi. Hey, Grim, how are you?
Well, that is a real long story because it has been a while. But, Kate, you know how I'm always defending the women workers and, you know, like the cheerleaders and their dilemma.
Yeah.
There's a young and uprising girl out there, and she is fighting to be a diesel mechanic. She's known as the Diesel Queen. And Melissa Peterson is climbing the ladder, and you'll hear more of her. But the mechanics of the world, they make the world go around. You can't get around without one. But
that's it, boy, that's so true. Listen, I love my mechanic. I agree.
Yeah, and it's rare to see a lot of women in that field. But that's why, you know, I'm giving her a little bit of support here. She just reached 100K today.
Wow.
On her Instagram. And like I said, she's worth interviewing. She's got a fantastic resume. But you remember when we made drive-ins popular again?
Yeah, that's right. Drive-ins. Yeah.
If it wasn't for you and I talking, I don't think Kmart or Walmart would have put them in the back alleys.
Yeah. We did that. You're right. We raised the flag of let's get these going. I love drive-ins. Yeah.
We should have invested, you know. I mean, hindsight has always been my death.
Yeah.
But, back to me, related to, you know, all my problems. Al, my heart is at 10%. So I may not be around any day.
Oh, Grim, I want this audience to put up some serious prayers and good thoughts for Grim. Grim, you are such a treasure. All the years that you've called into this show, big hugs. Fight through it. Fight through it.
It's about time for the 15th anniversary of Sunny Bay. And it may be our 15-year anniversary, but it's your chance at winning from weekly drawings in our contest for better health. We owe our success to you, GCN listeners. So as our thanks, you may win our grand prize. an Amazon gift card, plus Sunny Bay's complete set of superior pain relief products and services with a total prize value up to $4,152. How do you enter the Sunny Bay 15th Anniversary Contest for Better Health? Easy. Just click sunny-bay.com. No purchase necessary. Remember, there will be weekly drawings. Yes, it's our 15th anniversary, and it's your chance to win in Sunny Bay's 15th Anniversary Contest for Better Health. For complete contest rules and prize values, visit sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Right now, millions of Americans have an uneasy feeling about the future. That's why they're quietly stockpiling as much emergency food as they can. What about you? Do you have enough emergency food to get you through a prolonged crisis? If not, take a moment to shop My Patriot Supply. We're America's leader in emergency preparedness and survival. Since 2008, we've served several million American families like yours. In fact, our mission is your survival. So head on over to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few of our tasty emergency food kits. Our food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage and is shipped quickly and discreetly to your door. One day, you might be eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner while everyone else is standing in a food line. Avoid that. It's too late to act once the other shoe drops. It's time to be self-reliant and prepared. And now you can. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
To squeeze in those vacations, because now, especially with the Delta variant, oof, what can we do? Where can we get away? Let's get an RV. Let's go do something, especially before school starts for some people. And I have gotten a bunch of emails from many of you about where you're taking vacations. And I think it's interesting. I'm just going to rifle through a few of them and then tell you about my break coming up. Got this one from Susan, and she says, Kate, boy, I don't know about you, but it has been a weary, weary time for me in the past 15, 16 months. I'm not trying to be wimpy or weak or complain, but you get this weird fatigue that sets in, and I think it's just that offshoot of the things that we're seeing, the arguments, the discord, the discombobulation of our lives, worried about neighbors, worried about our own families, worried about people that are in our lives that live in other parts of the country, and it's like over the top. I think everybody needs to take a breath. You've had lots of different authors on who talk about that, who talk about meditation, who talk about taking a break and taking a transition. And not being afraid to tell somebody you need help. We just saw what happened with Simone Biles. I think because of that, I decided I have a couple of kids different ages, mostly the teen age, and they don't necessarily want to go away and do the RV thing, but we decided we're doing it. So we're going out to one of the big state parks, and I think it'll be a blast, or maybe we'll all be at each other's throats when it's all said and done. But we've decided that we're going to go and do that, and we're going into the Smoky Mountains. Wow, Smoky Mountains. You know, of all the places that I have had the pleasure of living in every quadrant of the country in some form, I have never spent any time in the Smoky Mountains. I've always wanted to do it, and every time there are plans for it, it never happens. Like, something comes up, right? And I think of that whole area and how incredibly beautiful it is. The, you know, just where it is, and be on the border of Tennessee and North Carolina, that thick forest and how diverse it is, the rivers and the valleys and just the crazy elevation. And it's on my list. So good for you. You're beating me to it. All right. And then I got one other one. I got this one from John, who says, "Hey, Kate, me and my buddies have decided some of us are married, some of us are single. We decided we're taking a couple of days to do a bros fishing trip. And I've been listening to you talk about travel, and we decided that we were all going to get Jeeps and go that way. It's maybe only 5-6 hours from where we live, but we're going to do a little trout fishing, a little hanging, a little chilling, and boy, do I need it. There is so much pressure with what my job is trying to do. I'm an engineer, and we're home, and then they say we're going to come back to the office, and then we're fighting traffic. All of a sudden, I live in Houston, and it is too much to deal with. And I decided, and one of my buds decided we needed to do this, and then the group grew. So we're doing this before the school year starts and before things get settled where I'm working, as to on in the office a few days and then off. Yeah, you know what? It's so good for you. I hope you catch a lot of fish. And that's a good idea, right? That you just figure out what can I do? Where can I go? I mean, I don't have to be trapped by this. I could just get in the car and go. So those are two examples of that. And that's that's what me and the Hubs are doing. Same thing, that while we're watching what's happening, we're taking a couple of days to go and see some things that we haven't seen or he hasn't seen. I think I've seen them in the past, but he hasn't seen them, and just to kind of just chill, right? Just to hike a little bit and hang out. Maybe there might be some fishing involved with that, but there's not going to be any planes. It's going to be the drive thing. That's sort of my compromise give back, because in a way I'd rather, let's just get there. Let's just jump on the plane. I used to be all about driving, but now I'm like, get from A to B. Let's just boom. Then you have more time. But he's more about he probably could have been a truck driver like my grandfather was. Smartest man in my entire family. All these crazy degrees people get, he would blow us all away with his smarts and people smarts too. And he was a truck driver and then worked his way up through Owens Corning, and pretty cool dude, John Fitzgerald. And I think of that. I think of that. There was something about him driving that he liked. And so I know that there are some of you that like that for you, that's relaxing to get in the car and drive to the place, wherever it is. If it's Yosemite, if it's to some beach somewhere, if it's to some, you know, little escape outside of where you are a couple of states over or whatever it might be. But this is high time for travel, so just be careful out there, because you may encounter more people, more cars, more little, you know, headaches, things that you have to deal with, because this is prime travel when you get into August, because of school starting up and and people wanting to get out one last time and do it before the summer officially ends for some of you. So, yay. I'm excited. I'm excited to pack up all the water, pack up all the snacks, right? And just go. Just go for a few days. That's happening in a couple of weeks. Some final thoughts here as we roll into two really great guests. And as we go down under, Trish and then Trevor will join us too. And, you know, I have that thing that I like sharing the stories of the people who are, I think, the unsung heroes of the book world. And that's why that's one of the things that I started doing the last year and a half, really right before COVID, highlighting what people were doing, what they were writing about, highlighting authors from around the world. So I don't want to spoil their stories, but that's coming up. I got to get to Australia. That's on the map. Australia is there. Definitely. Smoky Mountains, Australia. Hey, former Senator Carl Levin, the 36-year vet of the Senate, and he was a big voice for military issues. And he was a Democrat, but he had a lot of friends that were Republicans. He's died at the age of 87. So he was a fixture for a long time, the longest serving senator in Michigan history. He retired back in 2015, 3 decades in the chamber. Wow, 3 decades. And again, what's interesting about him, some of his policies and some of what the direction he wanted the country to go, would not, there'd be plenty of Republicans that wouldn't have agreed with him, but he definitely had lots of friends who were Republicans, and he knew how to try, at least on some issues, to try to make that compromise. That's a long time to serve, that's for sure, right? All right, then the other big thing I think shaking afoot is the fact that anybody federally who is a worker, which is probably why the governor in Texas threw down his executive order, but the president has said mask back on, and there's a military mandatory injection. So, you know, that's one of the things that was being avoided for a long time, but apparently the president is, you know, got to get vaccinated. So there's new vaccination rules for federal workers. He announced sweeping pandemic requirements aimed at really boosting the percentages of vaccination rates for millions of contractors and workers, and saying it's just an American tragedy of the rising yet preventable deaths among the unvaccinated. So the workers are going to be required to sign forms attesting they've been vaccinated against the coronavirus, or else they've got new rules on mandatory masking, weekly testing, distancing, and a lot more. Stay with us. We'll meet you on the flip side.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Biden says coronavirus cases are going up in states with low vaccination rates. He says medical experts predict
the cases will go up further before they start to come back down.
Millions of federal workers will be required to verify they've been vaccinated against the coronavirus or else face mandatory masking, weekly testing, social distancing, and other new rules.
Right now, too many people are dying. We're watching someone they love dying and saying, if I just got vaccinated, if I just, it's heartbreaking.
The president is also directing the Defense Department to look into adding the coronavirus shot to the list of required vaccinations for members of the military. The recent spike in coronavirus cases is tied to the Delta variant in people who are not vaccinated. This is USA Radio News. About 400,000 workers in the U.S. have filed new unemployment claims, according to the Labor Department in its weekly report. The number of new filings is a decrease of about 24,000 from the previous week. For the week ending July 24th, there were about 3.3 million continuing claims, which lagged the initial claims by a week. The largest increases for the latest available data were seen in Michigan, Texas, Kentucky, Missouri, and Illinois. The greatest decreases in claims were seen in New York, Puerto Rico, Tennessee, Oklahoma, and Georgia. First Lady Jill Biden has undergone a medical procedure at Walter Reed Hospital to remove a sharp object that got lodged in her foot when she was walking on the beach in Hawaii last weekend. She was there attending two official events. She stopped over in Hawaii after attending the opening ceremonies of the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo. You're listening to USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Pleasure to take you to northern New South Wales in Australia and introduce you to really a very talented author. Her name is Trish Teskey, and she's written a children's book that I think adults can relate to and read, and it's called Grunts Finding Zoe. And wait till you understand what Grunts is about and the main character and the themes in this. So, Trish, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Kate. Great to be here.
So what led you to writing this book? One day you said, you know what, I have this in my head about kids and writing a children's book, and this is a story that really I think can go beyond kids. How did you come up with it?
Firstly, I wanted to create some kind of exposure to our koalas here in Australia. I wanted to write a story that children could relate to them. So I wrote my book firstly to empower children to believe in themselves and to be brave, and even in the face of adversity, to find a place where they belong. I wanted children to know and trust that there was always somebody that could help them along their journey. And I thought, well, koalas is an animal that is a favourite here in Australia, and children could relate to that. And my book has some themes that about bullying and exclusion and war. So I thought if I could use our koala in a characterization, children would be able to associate more to the messages and themes within the book, essentially.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. It's like you told me, and I didn't even realize this. I feel like I'm misinformed, but I like koalas, and I've been an investigative journalist, and I didn't realize that they grunt.
Yes, they grunt. When they're on the prowl, they grunt. So that is the reason why they're called grunts. That's why I call them grunts for the book.
So the theme in the book, like I said, there's lots of lessons in this book, that's for sure. What happens, we don't want to give everything away, but what happens to the main character, the boy?
Well, Flynn Taylor is the young grunt. He's a 10-year-old, and he lost his parents 5 years earlier in a bushfire, and his big sister and older brother survived with him, and they have taken care of him for the last 5 years. So they've moved around quite a bit until they chanced upon a small bush town called Zoe, where the community was very welcoming to them, and that's where they've set up house there. But Flynn still is having trouble fitting in. He has a real troublemaker character, and he is essentially not feeling as if he's welcome there. And the bullies, headed up by Spike, they give him a really tough time as well. So they make his life pretty much unbearable. They challenge him with a dare, and the dare is that he's going to ruin everything that he's even going to hope for in Zoe. And it sets off, when he does accept the dare, it sets off a dangerous set of events. But it also, he doesn't realise how brave he can be, and he ends up finding his best friend, which is what he's been searching for all these years. So that's the component that is most dear to me, is that he has searched even through adversity and all his personal losses, he still found a best friend.
Was it fun for you to write this, to write about koalas, grunts, and the characters and all that?
Oh, it absolutely was, because it allowed me to introduce into each character different components that I wanted to pass on in stories, because I think if we can pass on stories to younger generation, it empowers them. it makes, I guess the thing is, it gives them lots of ways to cope. If we can give them lots of stories and inspiration, and so all of my characters that I built, I tried to make sure that the theme of what I was trying to get through, there was always a message. Like, we've got the elderly teacher, Miss Tilly. She takes care of Flynn at school because she knows he doesn't have any friends. And eventually, she and her best buddy, an old war veteran called Norman, but everybody knows him by the name of Old Man Grunt, they help Flynn along his way on his journey, and to finding where he feels happiest. And of course, there's two other characters, they're two puppy dogs, Monty and Radar, that also have a huge role in helping Flynn find his best mate.
Oh, I love
that. I had a ton of fun. I had a ton of fun, definitely.
Boy, I bet. So when koalas are on the prowl and they're grunting, what would they do really in real life if they encountered dogs?
Oh, can I tell you? They would normally jump on a dog. If a dog attacked them, they would fight. They would fight back. If the dog attacked them, they would not. Well, I'll go back. Essentially, a koala will run up a tree if he can get to safety. But if he is attacked by any dogs, he will fight back. But if the dog is bigger than him, unfortunately, the koala will be on the losing end. We actually had a dog, a medium-sized dog, that got into a bit of a tangle with a koala that lived on the other side of the fence of ours. And our puppy dog came out for the worst, which was good for the koala.
Well, and who knew? An inspiration maybe for the book. I mean, the book is, again, just wonderful. And we're speaking to Trish Teske. And, you know, you can get the book on Amazon, of course, Grunts Finding Zoe, and the lessons that we just talked about, empowering kids and reading. Did you read a lot when you were a kid?
Well, believe it or not, I didn't. I didn't have access. I lived in regional Queensland, and we'd have to travel into town to our library, and I wasn't, because it was, I lived quite a distance out. It took a long time to get into a library, and I really only developed the passion for reading when my husband and I were overseas. We went to Papua New Guinea. And there was no television there, so it was either a party or reading. And reading, you know, I've got at least 10 books beside my bed. I'm a constant reader. Absolutely love it. And I think the good part about me taking so long to write was the fact that I'd read something and I think, you know what, that would be perfect in my book. Or the feeling that I got from reading somebody else's words, I got a fabulous feeling that, you know, I felt I could relate in my book. So that is the reason I think books are marvellous. They're just like a friend that you get to keep and treasure at home, and you've got them always. So whilst I didn't read when I was younger and I didn't write when I was younger, I certainly love reading now. It's pretty much if I've got a spare 10 minutes, a book will come out.
I love that. So, Trish, you know, obviously I mentioned that you can get the book on Amazon. Is there any other place that you would send people to know, find out more about you?
Yes, you could have a look at the website, www.gruntsfindingzoe.com. I also have a video attached to that book. That is a précis of the story, and it's quite compelling, the little video. You could definitely go to Balboa Press home site, because my book is listed with Balboa. And really, any online book outlet will more than likely have it.
Yeah. The reaction to your family to writing the book, what'd they say about your book?
Oh, look, I think they knew that for me it was quite cathartic. I always had a lot of pleasure putting down on paper the different feelings that I got about things, especially messages of supporting one another. Because the more we support the people around us and our family and our community, the less chance there is, or it limits bullying and exclusion. And as I said before, I'm very much in awe and respectful of what our veterans have done for us. I just felt I needed to get that message across that, you know, we should all be grateful for what we've got at this given time. I know COVID has been atrocious. And we've all had to pull together. But essentially, I know my family have seen me go through everything that I've done to get this book out there, and they know it's been something that it's been nurturing to me myself. The book has been good for me. As far as anybody else liking the book, it's been good for me to write. So I've loved it.
I love it. Trish, thank you so much again. Grunts Finding Zoe, you can easily find that on Amazon and the areas, the places that we just discussed as well, including the website. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kate.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Right now, millions of Americans have an uneasy feeling about the future. That's why they're quietly stockpiling as much emergency food as they can. What about you? Do you have enough emergency food to get you through a prolonged crisis? If not, take a moment to shop My Patriot Supply. We're America's leader in emergency preparedness and survival. Since 2008, we've served several million American families like yours. In fact, our mission is your survival. So head on over to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few of our tasty emergency food kits. Our food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage and is shipped quickly and discreetly to your door. One day, you might be eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner while everyone else is standing in a food line. Avoid that. It's too late to act once the other shoe drops. It's time to be self-reliant and prepared. And now you can. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Now from Australia, in fact, New South Wales, is Trevor Wrightson, and he has written a couple of books that are completely different but equally interesting in their own right, especially Electricity for Beginners. And I was talking to him off the air about the fact that I know two guys in my world that were in radio that are going into or are training to be electricians, and this book in particular is incredibly valuable to them. A lot of it has to do with the drawings, and it's so explicit and pretty much shows you where, you know, from A to B to Z to D and back and all over the place what you have to do. And he knows the business because he did it for 40-plus years. So, Trevor, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So you had this knowledge, and you wanted to do something with the knowledge. Take us there. After all the years on the job, everything you did, what then became the leap that led to the book?
Well, after retiring, I commenced teaching at the Hunter Valley Training Company, and I went searching for a book for electricity for beginners for school children because there were just coming out of high school and getting an apprenticeship, and there was no suitable book written on electricity for beginners. They were all written by engineers who assumed that they had a basic knowledge of electrical, and they went too deep, and it was just over the heads of apprentices. It wasn't written for apprentices at all, you know, and not one of the books. So I decided that when I retired, I would write a book on electricity and call it Electricity for Beginners, and I'd write it in layman's terms and give them a basic knowledge of what is electricity, how it's made, circuitry, all that type of thing.
To you, what's the most complicated aspect of learning about electricity? What's the toughest thing to learn?
What is the type of thing to learn?
Yeah, the toughest thing of all of everything you learn about electricity.
Did you say the toughest?
Yeah, the toughest.
Oh, well, I was always very, very keen on it, and I don't think anything came tough to me. Probably in the first two or three years it was very complicated, but as an apprentice I asked a lot of questions, and I made it a habit of asking one question every day from the electricians I was working with. He was teaching me.
Yeah.
But I never found anything tough. I seemed to pick it up very well.
I think you just gave us a big tip. That's a good thing to do, is to ask questions. And you knocked down those questions in the book. Was it fun for you to do the book?
Yeah, it was. It was a lot of fun. But the thing I got out of it was I want to pass my knowledge on and make it simple for them, give them the basics of electricity. And that's the whole thing. It's written for beginners of electricity. And that's what the whole theme of the book is.
Yeah, is learning the basics, is learning what you need to do from the very very, very start. So that pretty much tells us, what do you hope the takeaway is for anyone who reads the book?
Yes, yes.
Is that they can get this down, that they can learn this, that they can go from that apprentice, go from the beginning of learning this, and they can go on to go deeper into it with their career.
Yes, yes. I have given it to, circulated amongst quite a few apprentices that are just commencing, and they've remarked on how it's helped them so much. And even some of them have taken them to tech courses and that, and shown them to the teacher. And the teachers have remarked what a marvelous book it is. So I'm very proud of it, and it's been my baby.
I like that, your baby. So with all that knowledge and putting it in the book and doing the drawings, was it fun to do the drawings too? Because that's, like I keep saying, that's a big part of this.
Yes. Well, I was always a very, very good drawer when I was a kid. And I've always loved drawing, and it's very natural for me to do. So I've incorporated it into the book, and I've come up with 56 drawings which explain exactly how it can be used in the book.
Yeah. So we go from Electricity for Beginners, which of course you can get on Amazon and any place where great books are sold. And again, this is a craft, this is a trade. And also, just to know electricity, it's fascinating to read. You don't have to want to be an electrician, to be honest, to want to read this book. We go from that, Trevor, to your next book, where it talks about where you grew up. And you grew up in Berrima. Tell us about it and what it was like.
Well, it's a small town, a very, very old town. It's one of the probably about fourth, fifth town that was built in Australia when it was settled. And it's about 80 mile the other side, on the south side of Sydney. And it's a very pretty place, and it's got a lot of old buildings and everything like that. And I went to school there, and when I was 6 years old, the war broke out. And I had three older brothers, and all the talk at the dinner table was about the war. And then they commenced training soldiers in Berrima, which meant that there was a lot of tanks running around the town and cannons going off and guns being fired. And it was a very frightening thing. I felt as though I was in the war. And then the talk of at the dinner table with my three brothers and dad, they're all talking about the war. I was frightened.
I can imagine you're putting us right in the middle of it, that you had tanks and you heard all of that and you heard the cannons going off. And so it was really close to you because it was right there in the town.
That's correct. Yes.
Then
the Japanese got to the stage where they were coming down. And fortunately, we had America behind us to help us stave off the Japanese. They were in New Guinea, which is the country just above north of America, Australia. And the Prime Minister at the time said that within 6 weeks, the Japanese will be in Sydney. But fortunately, we withdrew all our troops, which were fighting in overseas with England. And our Prime Minister said to their Prime Minister, "I'm withdrawing all our troops because we're in dire straits of being attacked by Japanese and we've got to stave them off." So we withdrew them and put them into New Guinea and drove the Japanese back out of New Guinea. And all this was during the war and was very, you know, we were on rations and blackouts and all that type of thing during the war. And it was, we were sending a lot of food to England, which meant that we had to be rationed because our food supplies were going to England. Because
wow.
They were on starvation sort of thing. And yes. So it was a very frightening time for me as a kid growing up with all this happening.
But then you get out of that, and Burma changes, and you get into a different kind of trouble, we'll say, as a teenager, just fun trouble. It's a different time.
Yes, yeah. Well, growing up, I became involved with a murder case, and that's in the book, and various happenings of my life during my teenage years until I got married. That's where the book finished. And then I finished up with the book saying that I'm leaving the beautiful town of Burma, which meant so much for me, and I'm starting a new life. And then that's where that book finished. And then I wrote another book then, and I called it A New Life. And that was from my time I got married until I retired and until now.
Yeah. Well, you definitely have led an interesting life. There's no question about that. And you've written 6 books all together. Are you going to write any more?
Well, I've got 6 that I've written, but I haven't sent them to publishers. I could continue on with, as I said, all my books are written on fact. I don't write fiction. And
that's what you feel comfortable doing. And I think we started especially with Electricity for Beginners. You can get that on Amazon. Trevor Wrightson, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me, Kate.
Thank you. And thanks to all of you for listening to us as well. Make it count, everybody. Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.